Your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network shows and hosts are in your car, outdoors, and wherever you need them to be.
Listen anywhere.
Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
No, he didn't slam you, he didn't bump you, he didn't nudge you, he rubbed you. And rubbing, son, is racing.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
This is Pit Pass USA, the fastest auto racing location on the internet, with the latest news, the best interviews, and our own brand of commentary. Here's your host, Larry Henry.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Pit Pass USA. Glad to have you on board. Hopefully the weather wherever you are is beginning to break. I'm in the Detroit area, and I always like to give a little weather report. We actually have some sun outside as we currently do the program on a Wednesday evening. And it's probably all of 38 degrees. It's supposed to be warmer than this, but it's not. But it will get warm across the country. We will have racing everywhere at your local short track in the very near future. Speaking of racing, lots of it went on last weekend. IndyCar got their season underway at St. Pete. We'll talk about that in a little while. The American Le Mans Series still gearing up to go to Long Beach. We'll talk to Guy Cosmo with some very interesting stories from Sebring on the program. Also, NASCAR Nationwide Series is in racing this weekend. The Trucks and the Sprint Cup are at Martinsville. But we'll talk to the Nationwide Series points leader. That's Ricky Stenhouse Jr. And the ARCA Series. They've only raced once this year, and that was at Daytona. And their next race is in 2 weeks at Talladega. Long time in between. And they've actually been testing. They got rained out today, but they did test yesterday. And we'll talk to Mary-Yves Dufault, who is from Canada, but also ran very well at Daytona, about the tests that have been going on down at Talladega. The 2011 IndyCar season began this past weekend on the streets of St. Petersburg. Lots of great stories. Of course, Dario Franchitti, the defending series champion, Indianapolis 500 winner, won the season opening event, but there were other stories in the field, and one of those is with the gentleman I'm about to bring on board. He finished ninth on Sunday in the race, but more importantly, he got back on the racetrack. He had not been in an Indy car for a few years. He's with Newman Haas Racing, Telemundo on board, and that is Oriel Servia, who came home ninth. Oriel, congrats on a great run down at St. Pete.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Ninth feels good. Actually, we had hoped for better the way things were going Saturday morning, but we'll take ninth. That was a good way to start the season. As you said, I had a year off, so you never know how strong are you going to be when you come back, and ninth was pretty good.
Absolutely so. And with a year off, were you worried about any rust? Although you did have the test at Barber, which is, of course, the next place that the Izod IndyCar Series goes. You were fifth in the times down there. It didn't look like you had much rust when you got back at a race car.
Yeah, you're right. We're actually a little bit surprised in a way. I mean, because you hope you're going to be right where you left it, but you never know for sure until you're at the track. These cars are, take a lot to make them go fast. But we were able to work through the 2-day test, and by the end of it, we were fifth fastest, and we were very, very pleased how it went. So that's why we went into St. Pete. With high hopes, honestly. And Saturday morning we were fifth actually again in practice, and we thought, hey, I think we have a shot to the podium here. Unfortunately, then in qualifying we missed a little bit what the red tires would do to the car, and we had way too much understeer, and we qualified actually 15th, which was the worst we had been all weekend, unfortunately. And when you start at the back, you didn't make things easier for yourself, basically. And it was a messy start, as you I'm sure saw, two or three times, actually. and it helped us and it hurt us a little bit. But overall, you know, finishing ninth was a good recovery and a good way to really get the rust out. I mean, I thought after the Barber test I was 100%, but the truth is it takes a race, you know. It's not just doing a fast lap around the track, you know. There's a lot of things that go on a race weekend that until you actually do it, you know, you cannot get the practice without doing it. So it was good, and we salvaged the weekend, and we're ready for next.
Now, didn't you miss your pit stall one time on maybe your first pit stop?
Oh, and you have to bring that up. yes, and I felt so embarrassed. I mean, I didn't do that mistake when I was a rookie 10 years ago, you know. It was the first pit stop. We decided to just come in to get a little more fuel on the yellow. And I thought I was the only one coming in. So I was telling myself, you know, the whole pit lane will be open. It's only going to be your guys out. During the weekend, my mechanics were not wearing the race suit. They were wearing just normal clothing. They were blue, which was the color of the car. And before the race, I saw that they were putting their suits on, because you have to wear suits to the pit stops, obviously. And the suits were white. So as I'm coming in, and in my head, I thought I was the only one in pit lane. I see one crew with the white suit, and I go there. It was only like last second I saw it was number 18. Which was a Delcoin car who was pitted next to us. So I was embarrassed to do a pit stop where I wasn't supposed to. So that cost us a little bit of time. Fortunately, because I was under yellow, it didn't really cost us anything at the end of the day. But it was embarrassing way to start the race, definitely.
Well, one of the things that I saw this weekend, and you're on Twitter and Facebook, was one of your posts when you talked about after doing so well in practice and then not getting the best qualifying run, was kind of like, yep, I'm back to racing. I got to realize that this is going to take a while. You really understood that it's going to take a little while to get back to where you were, to get the feel of the race car, to go through all the racing motions. They say it's like riding a bicycle, but it's not. When you get back there on the racetrack, and you're in those conditions, it changes completely.
It does change a little. And at the end, it is like running on a bicycle. The only problem is you have 25 guys around you that have not stopped for a year. And then, you know, they just have been pushing for a year all last year. So it's at the end, it's the little details that allows you to be on pole position instead of 15. You know, I mean, it really is, you know, it's like 5/10 of a second, you know, that I was away from pole. So 5/10 of a second is not just driving faster. It's every little corner a little better. Every little information you give to the engineer after the practice of how the car felt and what the changes should be for qualifying. You know, the more accurate you are, the better decisions he's going to make about the car. So it's a lot of little details that it just takes finesse. It just takes miles to get the best out of yourself and the team you're with. I mean, we all know, like, you know, on any sport, on any art, practice make, how do you say it?
Perfect.
Yeah, perfect. So that's what it takes. I mean, and that's what I didn't have last year. So and I'm very thankful that the team, you know, was painful not to be winning, but they were totally on the program, knowing that you know, was going to take us a little bit. They're actually coming from a year last year where they didn't have the most success either. Newman Haas is a team that is used to winning races, winning championships. They have over 105 victories. And last year they had a bad year. So we both find each other, I think, in a very interesting place. We both have the experience and the knowledge, but we are both hungrier than we had ever been. So I think that's why, you know, we're going to get where we want to be, which is at the top of the podium.
Talking with Oriel Servia here on Pit Pass USA, finished ninth in the IndyCar season opener at St. Petersburg over the weekend, driving for Newman Haas Racing, which does have a very, very rich tradition. And Oriel, the last time you really drove a lot of races for Newman Haas, you wound up second in the championship back in 2005. Do you think you can work that magic again with the team?
I definitely do. I mean, there's no other team out there that I would have more confidence that we can achieve wins. And whatever goal we set ourselves for. I mean, they work so hard. It's the engineering group I've worked with that they work the hardest, the smartest, and I know they won't stop until we have the best car out there. and that's what they do, and they are the best at it. So I know we will. That's why when people actually yesterday were like happy and congratulating me, oh, 90 is great, top 10 on your first comeback. Like, yeah, it feels good, but that's not what we want. I mean, we finished second to already to get in the championship. We're here to try to make Mr. Penske and Mr. Ganassi nervous. You know, that's what this team is about, and that's what this program is about. And announcing Telemundo as a partner actually Saturday was huge for us. We had been working since October on this deal, and it just gives us a lot of exposure, and I think it's going to give us a lot of momentum for the future and some continuity. Because at the end, to beat Ganassi and Penske, you just don't do it in a day. You know, it takes continuity, it takes months and years of work, and with Telemundo, I think we're going to achieve that. So altogether, the program is looking very good, and I really believe so. I really believe we can contend for wins, hopefully very soon.
Well, we all know that there was a time when Newman Haas kept the Ganassis and kept the Penskes at bay, and it wasn't that long ago. I remember all the championships that Carl Haas and Paul Newman were able to win with this race team, so they do have the pedigree and they know how to get it done.
They definitely do. I mean, it's, you know, many teams think they have the knowledge, and many teams actually do have the knowledge, but not many have the amount of wins and trophies that Newman Haas has, you know. So that shows that they've done it, they know how to do it, and they'll do it again. And, you know, I mean, it's just difficult because Ganassi and Penske have been having, let's say, the biggest budget the last few years. The car hasn't changed in 10 years, so, you know, they've been able to really know the car and spend a lot of money developing it, and for the others to catch up, it just takes a lot of time. And on top of that, you add that they actually have, Penske has 3 cars on track every week, and Ganassi now has 4 cars. So for a team like us and a one-car operation, it's just, you know, not only you have to catch up to them, they actually have more tracks on track all the time, doing more testing, trying new things, and you know, one of the 4 cars is going to get it right? So it's just a tough fight. That's why we're working very hard to try to get a second car with me at the team, and I think it would be great if James Hinchcliffe is able to come on board on the program, which I think we're very close, and that will definitely put us in a better position to look at these teams face-to-face.
Oriel, very quickly, I've got to ask you about your experience at the 12 Hours of Sebring. Now, you didn't get the results you wanted, but you were with the Jaguar team with Paul Gentilozzi, and you got to drive with Cristiano D'Amato and Bruno Genchera. That just had to be fun overall for you.
It was. I mean, it was only my second endurance race ever. I had done the 24 Hours of Daytona 4 years ago, and I enjoyed it a lot. So I really wanted to do Sebring, and I have to say I was very surprised how competitive it is on the GT class. You know, we were fighting the Ferraris, the BMWs, the Porsches, and the Gentilozzi team did a very good job with the Jaguar. It just didn't work out the way we wanted. We had some mechanical issues on the first hour, and we were off the race for most of it. Out of the race, so it was a shame, but it was a great experience. It's always great to be able to share a car with such great drivers like Bruno and Cristiano. That, funny enough, actually, the two of them have had their best moments at racing when they were racing for Newman Haas. So it was a bit like a Newman Haas reunion in another team, and we just had a great time the whole week while we were preparing, while we were setting up the cars, while we were trying to see who was the fastest among the three of us. You know, it was just a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to whenever we can do it again.
Well, Oriel, I want to congratulate you on the great start to the 2011 IZOT IndyCar season at St. Pete. Good luck at Barber, and we'll see you at Long Beach in a few weeks.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Very happy to be racing in IndyCar again, and hopefully we can talk after the podium soon.
Oriel Servia, one of the good guys in all of racing, and I'm glad to see him back in a quality car with Newman Haas Racing. You go back to Mario Andretti, Michael Andretti, Nigel Mansell, the magical year after he won the Formula One Championship and came over and drive for Newman Haas and wound up winning the championship. I mean, the pedigree there is, and they have struggled the last few years, and maybe Oriel will be
impetus to turn that team back around. Well, you heard me talk to him a little bit about the 12 hours of Sebring. My next guest, we're going to talk about that and also look forward to Long Beach in a couple of weeks. We'll talk to a Ferrari driver, and that is Guy Cosmo. We'll be returned to Pit Pass USA, part of the Power Up Motorsports Series on VoiceAmericaSports.com.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
The revolution has begun with Jim and Trav.
Are your Second Amendment rights safe? Rock and roll icon Ted Nugent, Alan Gottlieb, Lars Larson, and NRA's Executive Vice President Wayne LaPierre weigh in on this and tell you what's at stake. Plus, Lori Petoskey with Ruger Firearms, Ultimate Hunt's Rob Evans, and country music artist Jared Rogerson all will be special guests this week. Wednesdays at 1 Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel. I'm Jim Ferguson. I'll see you on the trail.
We some hard hitters.
Hard-hitting radio is a new kind of sports and entertainment show. Your hosts are NFL veterans Mark McMillan and co-host Byron Evans. It's an hour of hater-free radio every week. You'll hear interviews with top athletes, celebrities, coaches, and fans. It's humor, hits, and conversation. Hard-hitting radio is on with McMillan and Evans. Listen Fridays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Network.
Do you feel the need for speed? Whatever your addiction, NASCAR, IndyCar, NHRA, Formula One, or even lawnmower racing, Pit Pass USA has got you covered. Larry Henry here, host of Pit Pass USA. I put my 30-plus years of being a motorsports broadcaster to work to bring you not only the best guests, but also the most interesting guests in racing. Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry, your front row seat to the world of racing. Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Channel. Be there or get a DNF.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
You're listening to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. To leave comments or suggest future guests for the show, email us at LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. That's LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. Now back to more of the fastest show in motorsports, Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry.
Now one of the up-and-coming American drivers in the American Le Mans Series, in fact, in sports car racing all around the world. He just recently drove in the 12 Hours of Sebring with Extreme Speed Motorsports. That's Scott Sharp's team and a Ferrari F458, and that is Guy Cosmo. Guy, welcome.
Thanks, Larry. How are you?
Doing great. It's been now a week or so since the 12 Hours of Sebring. I know it wasn't the kind of performance that you expected. You wound up 10th because of some mechanical problems, but overall, are you pleased, since you had a brand new car that really had not been tested under fire, to at least survive the 12 Hours of Sebring and get the 10th place finish?
You know, I am. And I think the team as a whole is, of course, a little disappointed that, you know, we had a big crash with the 01 car about an hour and a half into the race, which was terminal for the car and their finish. But, you know, we had a really solid run going with the 02 car. And, you know, we weren't quite as fast as we thought we were going to be with the debut of this new car, because of course everybody expected this 458 to just obliterate the competition. But the reality is that the regulations for the category with the ACO and IMSA with the American Le Mans Series, they're very good at what they do, and the performance balancing was really well sorted before the car ever debuted. So they kind of anticipated what Michelotto had in store for the car, and the rules kind of, you know, kept us from having an unfair advantage. And, if, you know, for the first race, to post the kind of lap times that we did, you know, we're certainly in the ballpark. There's clearly going to be an opportunity for us to improve with this car and extract more of its potential as we learn the car better. And, you know, despite having a mechanical with the gearbox, which, of course, isn't necessarily a Ferrari part, you know, it's a really good run that we had. And a 10th place finish gets us some points for the championship, and all in all, you can't be too upset with that.
You mentioned the gearbox, and I thought was what was very interesting about that. Your crew worked on it. I think it took them about an hour, but then you went back onto the track, and you were just passing everybody after they fixed the transmission. You put on a great charge at the end of the race.
Well, thanks. Yeah, that was fun. You know, it was one of those things where
you know, we were all kind of wondering, you know, what happened at first was we lost second gear. We must have broken some teeth off of second gear, and we drove for a couple of hours using third gear as our lowest gear. And, you know, our time suffered as a result of that. But once, I guess, those pieces kind of started floating around and broke everything else in the transmission, we were figuring that it was probably going to take us out of the race. And we went out for some installation laps, and we needed to tweak a few more things. And once we got it back up and running, we still didn't have first gear, but second through sixth. And, you know, it was one of those moments where I realized that, you know, these guys worked so hard to get this car on track and make it for the event. And then we had a tough week all week long, you know, and they were up all night long before the race even started. So they had zero sleep before beginning a 12-hour race and, you know, a 36-hour day for them. And once we got the car back together after they slaved on it in pit lane for an hour, to me, it was one of those things where, you know, if I didn't renew my motivation to just haul the mail as best as I could and try to pull out a good result, you know, the guys really deserve that. So it was fun to be able to get back out on track and push to make up those positions. And, you know, we were down a number of laps, but there were a lot of cars that we were passing simply because we were still on track. And I passed a few other cars on track for position. And it was a great run to the finish and, you know, certainly a decent result considering what we were against.
Do you just become a possessed driver at that point in time that, one, you're upset with the car breaking, you know, you put in long hours, the team has, and you just go into a different zone at that point on the racetrack?
Yeah, I mean, in a way. But you know, it's one of those things where, you know, when you look at a bunch of us drivers at this level of sports car competition, I think everybody out there is fairly crazy and possessed when they're behind the wheel. You know, it's pretty easy to get out there and just do the best that you can. But in a position like that, of course, you know, you really want to do it for your boys and for your crew. And, yeah, you know, because I was tired. I wasn't feeling too well. I was a little nauseous at that point and, you know, put in a lot of hours, a lot of dehydration and stuff that you suffer throughout a long day like that. And it's easy to get out there and want to just cruise to the finish. But honestly, it's more agonizing to do that than it is to just focus 1,000% and just drive as hard as you possibly can until the end. So that consistency, that repetition, you know, and just falling into that groove is actually what saved me physically and personally as a driver to be able to push hard to the finish, because as soon as you break that train, it really hurts you, and you start to realize how bad you feel. You know, these cars are very hot, and Sebring is just such a grueling track. And I drove the last hour and a half straight after sitting in the car for over an hour. You know, I know I'm rambling on, but I ran, you know, about two-thirds of a stint. Then we had the gearbox problem. Then I sat in the car for an hour while they were repairing it. Then I drove the last hour and a half. So I was in the car nearly for the last 4 hours, 3 to 4 hours of the race. And it's just tiring. But, you know, I was feeling great until they waved that checkered flag, and then everybody slowed down for the parade lap back into the pits. And wow, was that uncomfortable. But it was a great day all in all.
I'm talking with Guy Cosmo here on Pit Pass USA. He drives one of the cars for Extreme Speed Motorsports, which is Scott Sharp's team in the American Le Mans Series in the GT category, drives a Ferrari 458. And Guy, not only top of all that, you talk about not feeling well and sitting in the car, but you're driving at night. And for those people that don't realize it and maybe haven't been there, there aren't any lights around this track. You're just using the headlights and whatever ambient light there might be from the full moon that we kept showing up at Sebring to run around the track. So you were in the toughest of the tough conditions and trying to run there at the end of the race.
Yeah, you know, driving at night is pretty challenging to begin with. But Sebring is just not a very well-lit track. You know, they did have a few lights at some of the corners here and there, but, you know, with 17 turns and 3.7 miles to drive your way through, visibility is obviously quite minimal because it's pretty dark in some sections of the track. The headlights, you know, they get you by, but it's interesting because at night there, you're really driving off of your imagination, essentially. You know, when you can see one corner's apex and then you track out, you know, from that point on, when you're going, a lot of the straights at Sebring still have curves in them, and you're just searching for the first glimpse of any reflector on the curbing or any sign of any of their blue and white curbing for the apexes, that as soon as you see them, then you know, okay, now I'm at this section, now I have to turn in here, and you're just constantly searching. So compared to driving in the day, where you can be a lot more relaxed, you know, your vision doesn't have to be as intense as it does at night. You know, in the darkness around there, you're literally searching every inch that you travel across the pavement for that next visual reference so you know where you should place the car. And what makes it even more difficult is all of the headlights shining in your mirrors, because, of course, we had a lot of prototypes on track for the 12-hour, an amazing car count we had. And you lose all depth perception, because when you see lights reflecting in your mirrors, you can't tell how close or far away they are from you. So, you know, you're trying to figure out where you are on track, how far left or right you should be. You're upshifting through gears, you know, you're checking your gauges, you're trying to hit all of your marks, but you're also trying not to turn down on somebody who may or may not be there in your mirrors, because your mirrors are just full of these bright gleaming lights. So it really is the toughest part of the event. But again, if somebody crazy like me, it is the most fun you could have in a race car. I love driving at Sebring at night.
I always wondered how a driver did that at night. I remember my Skip Barber Racing School eons ago. I think we had horses that were pulling the cars around the racetrack, but they always taught us to look for the points, look for, you know, a crack in the wall, look for a mark on the road, look for this for our turn-in points. And that's got to be next to impossible at nighttime at Sebring. I just don't know how you guys do it.
Well, you know, I'm fortunate in that being a resident of Florida, you know, I do a lot of driving at Sebring. So I know this track probably as well as any track that I could possibly have driven on. And I really think it's that benefit of knowing the track with my eyes closed during the day. And I know how long it takes me to you know, let's say exit turn 7 and run through the gears and make it through the S curves there before I get to turn 10. And, you know, I've got that rhythm and a count in my head from all of these past visual references and scenes that I have in my mind. To run through and say, all right, well, I should be at this bump in the road, and right after that, I'm going to break, and then I should be able to see the apex for turn 10. And then, you know, it's just that, you know, those sight images that I've got mapped out in my mind because I've driven around there so many times. Now, I've never been to Le Mans for the 24-hour over there, which I'm dying to go to, but I can only imagine, you know, if I ever make it there, I'm going to have such a limited amount of time to learn this track in the daylight. And then when I'm driving at night, you know, trying to remember where all of my marks are and dealing with all of the cars with traffic, that's going to be a whole new challenge that I have yet to experience. So I think I really benefit from the amount of laps that I've had at Sebring for, you know, over 10 years now driving at that track.
Guy, very quickly, I want to talk to you about Long Beach coming up in a couple of weeks. Now, I know you stayed at Sebring. I believe you tested with Risi Competizione. They also had a Ferrari 458. And you got to do some laps. Is that going to help you as you go to Long Beach then with the new cars?
You know, I think it is. You know, Michelotto, who produces these 458 GT cars for Ferrari and for us, you know, we're customers of them, as are many of the other teams around the world. And they were running their T car, the official test car, which was the first 458 they produced and developed. And they wanted to do some testing after the week of Sebring, because they have a lot of theories and ideas of their own that, you know, that Risi may or may not follow, and that, you know, Extreme Speed may or may not have followed. And, you know, they're just continuing to develop their product because, again, we're customers and they need to keep sending us updates, and they're doing this for the good of Ferrari. So they invited me to test the day after, and surprisingly, you know, the car was actually fairly different than the way we had our car set up. And, you know, hard to say any better, any worse, but we experimented with a number of different things. We did some long runs, and I think we learned something. I think, you know, Michelotto and Ferrari learned a few things that maybe we needed to go a slightly different direction with both of the teams than the way we went at Sebring, although the cars are still very competitive and certainly handled well. But I think, you know, they're trying to figure out what is the proper path to go down with these cars so that we always have adjustability in our setup and that the cars are easier to drive. And just that they're a little more, you know, reliable and of course, fast. So going into Long Beach, I do think we learned some things at that test that's going to help us out setup-wise. And I think simply the fact that it's a two-hour sprint race is really gonna change our outlook on how we approach the event. Because, of course, you know, we're just going for all-out speed. And as long as we keep off of those concrete walls, you know, we're not going to have any issues with reliability or any of that sort. Although, I think all of those reliability issues are going to be gone anyway. So it's going to be a whole different mindset, but certainly one that I'm looking forward to.
Well, Guy, I'm looking forward to it, too, in a couple of weeks at Long Beach. Thanks for talking with us, and we'll see you out there inside of the Queen Mary in a few days.
I'm looking forward to it, Larry. Thank you for having me, and look forward to coming back and talking with you some more.
Guy Cosmo, one of the drivers of Scott Sharp's Extreme Speed Motorsports team. They were driving the new Ferrari 458s, and they'll be running at Long Beach in just a couple of weeks. Next up, we turn our attention to NASCAR, the points leader in the Nationwide Series. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. will return to Pit Pass USA, part of the Power Up Motorsports Series on VoiceAmericaSports.com.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Are you ready for an old school in your face discussion of professional, college, and high school football? Tune in for talk on a variety of football-related topics on the program From Under the Helmet with Derek Kinnard.
You will hear the week's headlines and straight talk from the hosts and weekly guests that are personal and provocative.
From Under the Helmet is broadcast every Monday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Welcome to Inside the Trenches, everyone, the interactive show that is sweeping across the nation here on Voice America Sports Simply with your host, 12-year pro football veteran, yes, of course, the voice of America, R. Cal Trula. We're bringing it to you today, starts at noon, and so does Inside the Trenches, 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, bringing you the ins and outs, letting you know what's going on in and around sports and also in and around your neck of the woods. So if you want to be on the show and you want to be a part of the show, simply go to InsideTheTrenches.com and let's make this thing happen for you. The interactive show that is sweeping across the nation. Inside the Trenches, your show.
Looking for a top show about horse racing and handicapping?
Looking to play the ponies?
Join us every week for Winning Ponies with Ed Meyer. This show is the perfect complement to the Winning Ponies website, where you'll go inside and behind the scenes with the top jockeys, trainers, agents, and handicappers in the world of horse racing. Listen for top plays for the weekend and the spot play of the week, and win prizes just for listening. Winning Ponies with Ed Meyer is live Thursdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Network.
Your internet flagship station for sports,
Voice America Sports.
You're listening to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. To leave comments or suggest future guests for the show, email us at LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. That's LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. Now back to more of the fastest show in motorsports, Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry.
NASCAR Nationwide Series is off after running five races this season. They'll be back in action next week at Texas Motor Speedway. And going into this one-week break, young man atop the point standings for the first time in his career, and he joins me now. He drives for Roush Fenway Racing and Ricky Stenhouse Jr. Ricky, congrats on being number one.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's cool to say now, but it'd be even cooler to say it at the end of the season after Homestead. So that's our goal, and that's what we're looking forward to.
Well, you've had a solid start to the season, four top tens in the first five races. That's pretty strong.
We feel like it, you know, obviously it's a really strong start for us. But, you know, we feel kind of bummed out because we feel like we should have, you know, a few more top fives and five top tens for sure. But, you know, we've made a few costly mistakes along the way. But as long as we can learn from them and not make them later on in the year, that'll be good for us. But definitely a strong start to our season, and just gotta keep it going and stay focused and be there when it really counts.
Well, Ricky, let's take a look at last year. You had a rough time in the first half of the season, then came on strong like gangbusters in the second half of the season to become Rui Bestos Rookie of the Year. So this is a much better start than a year ago.
It is a much better start. I've kind of joked around that you know, we have a really good start, and if we can up the end of the season like we did last year, then you know, we could really have a good, really good end of the year, you know. So hopefully we can step it up towards the summer and on into the end of the year and make a run at this title.
What turned it around for you last year? Can you put your finger on one thing?
You know, it's a little bit of everything. It was you know, Ford Racing staying behind me. It was Jack Roush. It was my team, you know, our sponsors. It was just everybody that stood behind me and kept me motivated and, you know, kept confidence in me. And then, you know, had to have a lot of patience. You know, I learned a lot through the first half of the season and really applied it to the second half. So it was just a combination of a lot of things.
Well, and the one thing we all know is Jack Roush is not a patient man. I mean, you had to be worried at times whether you were going to be able to race or not.
I was. It was funny. I was talking to Jack about it last week at California, and it kind of came to a surprise. You know, we were sitting there talking, and he's like, oh, you were you hurt yourself way more than you hurt me. He's like, I was all right with it, but he goes, I think you beat yourself up enough. So he knows I'm hard on myself, and he knows that I want to succeed in this sport and going to try to do everything I can to do that. And, you know, he kind of took a back seat for the first half of the year and then kind of stepped in towards the middle there and, you know, kind of lit a fire under me, and we got going a little bit better there.
How much did the change to the new car actually help you? I remember watching the first couple of races when they went to the new Ford Mustang. You seemed to have a handle on it right from the get-go.
The Ford Mustang was good. I mean, it obviously it looks awesome, but, you know, it drove well for us in all the races that we ran with them. We were always fast with them, and that's another thing we were looking forward to coming into 2011 is running full-time in the Mustang. And so far, you know, our Mustangs have been really fast at every track, not just mine, but my teammates, Carl Edwards and Trevor Baines also. And I think everybody's just working as a really good group right now, and that's what's got us really fast Mustangs.
We're talking to Ricky Stenhouse Jr. here on Pit Pass USA, drives the number 6 car for Roush Fenway Racing in the NASCAR Nationwide Series, and he is currently the points leader 5 races into the season. Always good to have everybody chasing you, but as we said, it's a long season. Now, you got this weekend off, and then you go to Texas Motor Speedway, where actually you ran pretty well the last time you were there.
Yes, sir. Hey, we got the points lead into the off weekend, so we at least hold it 2 weeks in a row. You know, Texas is coming up, and that's kind of one that my crew chief and myself have had circled on the calendar that we felt like we could, you know, sit on the pole and win that thing. We were really fast there the last time. We didn't keep up with the track as well as we should, but we got to lead, you know, 30 or so laps there and pass Kyle Busch and Kevin Harvick and Carl Edwards. So we know we can do it, and that's a track that I like and that he likes. And with the new Mustang going there, I think we should have a good shot at it. An easy feat is coming back on board there. They were on at Texas, and hopefully we can put them up front.
How important is it for you? I'm sure it is. It always is to get that first win. That's the one thing that's missing from the resume. Top 10s, top 5s are great, but it's that one in that W column that everyone looks for.
It is. And, you know, it's something that, you know, I want to get, and I want to try really, really hard to get. It's tough in this series. It's important to myself and the whole team. And you know, I'd like to get Mustang's first win in NASCAR. You know, that's something that we're looking forward to, and we want to be the team that gets it. And you know, I think that's just kind of, it gets the ball rolling. If we could get that first win, I think everything else would come together a little quicker.
Ricky, what about this new point system? I look at it from the outside in, and if I'm just an average fan and I'm watching the Nationwide race on Saturday, or maybe it's a Friday night race if it's one of those weekends, and I'm seeing Kyle Busch win, I'm seeing Carl Edwards win, I'm seeing Brad Keselowski win, I'm seeing Kevin Harvick win, I might be seeing Mark Martin win, and then I'm looking down through the points and I say, well, I don't see those guys anywhere, and all right, this guy that finished 6th is the points leader. Do you think it's a little confusing to not the day-in, day-out NASCAR fans, but to just, you know, those fans that kind of pass by and watch the sport occasionally?
It might be a little confusing to them, but you know, I think it's good for Nationwide Insurance and Nationwide to kind of have their own series and have their own group of guys running for it. You know, it's, you know, everybody's like, well, you got a chance to win this year, you know, the championship, but technically we've always had the chance to win. It was just if you could do it or not. It was those Cup guys definitely made it tough on us. But, you know, I don't feel like it's too confusing. I enjoy it. I feel like having the new point system the way it is, I feel like it kind of stepped everybody's game up. You know, you got more nationwide regulars in the top five and in the top ten and qualifying well. And I think it stepped everybody's game up. And, you know, I think we're third in owner's points. So we're right there with those cup guys. And, you know, I guess a way to judge it is if we can win the, you know, the driver championship and the car owner championship, then, you know, we would have it all pretty covered.
Do you really believe that you've seen the competition pick up among the people like Justin Allgaier, Reed Sorensen's running full time in the series? I mean, there's several guys there that you look at that you feel really have stepped up their game along with their teams this year because of the points change.
Well, I don't know if it's because of the points change, but they changed it and everybody seems to be running a little bit better. But you know, it's you know, everybody knows it's like, you know, hey, I can go out and, you know, I can be leading the points after this weekend. And it seems like it steps everybody's game up a little bit. So, you know, I feel like it has a little bit to do with it.
Okay, we've got your one teammate, Trevor Bayne, been running a course in Cup and won the Daytona 500. Carl Edwards, your teammate, obviously has been running in Cup. When does Ricky Stenhouse really get his chance to go and show maybe his stuff in the Sprint Cup Series?
you know, I guess you're going to have to get Jack on to ask that question. I just kind of do whatever Jack tells me to do. I enjoy working for him and have a really good company over there and like being with Ford. And so, you know, I just kind of do my thing and just keep racing nationwide cars. And, you know, I don't feel like I'm ready for it right now. I think by the end of the season, you know, if I keep learning and stuff like that, I think that maybe I'll feel like I can get to that level and be ready for it. But right now, I feel like I need to learn some more. You know, I haven't been in stock cars that long, so I don't want to jump in too early, but hopefully by the end of the year, I'll be ready.
I'm not sure Trevor would tell you he was ready.
I know, it worked out for him. That's for sure. That was cool, him winning the Daytona 500. You know, me and Trevor and myself are really good friends off the racetrack and have a lot of fun together, so that was cool to see him win that.
What does that do for someone like you, though, that's a young and upcoming driver and sees someone that you know so well and is a teammate that goes out and does something like that? Does it give you encouragement and really, I don't want to say pick up your game a little more because you're always giving it 100% or more if you can, but does it really enthuse you to go out there and charge just a little bit harder?
Well, it gives us hope. You know, kids my age and people coming up, it's like, man, you know, anything's possible. And, you know, it does, you know, kind of, even though it didn't happen to me, you know, even though I didn't win it, it kind of just makes me feel like, hey, I could do that. You know, it seems like anything's possible. And, you know, that was good for not only myself, but every other young driver that is coming up.
Well, he's got the Daytona 500 win. Who knows? By the end of the year, you may have the Nationwide Series championship ring on your finger. Right now,
that would be awesome.
It would be awesome. Thanks for taking some time out of your week off. I'm sure you're busy, just, you know, laying on a beach somewhere, sucking up race, right?
Not yet.
But I thank you for doing that, and good luck at Texas in a week.
All right, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
That's Ricky Stenhouse Jr., the points leader in the NASCAR Nationwide Series. Again, they are idle this week, and they will run at Texas next week. Good young man. And, you know, Jack Roush stuck with him last year, even when he was having some problems. It paid off with Ray Bestos Rookie of the Year, and right now leading the points, but they've got a long way to go, only five races into the season. Next up, we'll talk to a young lady who has joined the stock car ranks from Canada, and she'll be running in her second ARCA race in a couple of weeks at Talladega. Mary Ev Defoe will join us when we continue with Pit Pass USA, part of the Power Up Motorsports Series of VoiceAmericaSports.com.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports. Okay, sports fans, here's your opportunity to discuss football, America's favorite sport. On an annual basis, millions of people attend, watch, and listen to football, both pro and college. Ray Ellis Sports, an internet talk radio show, was developed with the fan in mind. Join host former Philadelphia Eagles and Cleveland Browns strong safety, Ray Ellis, on Voice America Sports every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific for exciting, interactive football discussions from the fans' perspective. Tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific to Ray Ellis Sports, right here on the Voice America Network, and let's talk football.
Have we got a high-energy, all-access sports show for you? It's Outside the Huddle, starring Lemont Williams with co-host John Inglesby. Each week, join Lemont and John as they take callers, discuss the week's top stories in the world of sports, and sit down with active and former players to discuss their transition from sports to business. Outside the Huddle is a great resource for players making career transitions both on and off the field. Tune in Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, and 5 Pacific for Outside the Huddle on the Voice America Sports Channel. Football and so much more is the focus of Planet Gridiron with Damian Anderson. Join the former Arizona Cardinals running back for a show that mixes, well, a little bit of everything. Damian brings to the program life experiences playing football, and we'll talk about his variety of successes both on and off the field. The goal is to provide you with a fun perspective on life, family, success, and of course, football. Tune in to Planet Gridiron with Damian Anderson, Fridays at noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern time, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You're listening to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. To leave comments or suggest future guests for the show, email us at LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. That's LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. Now back to more of the fastest show in motorsports, Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry.
The ARCA Racing Series presented by Menards will be racing in 2 weeks at Talladega. They haven't raced since Daytona, so they do back-to-back super speedways. And my next guest, I thought, had a great debut as a rookie at Daytona, and now she is looking to run again, of course, at Talladega. Yes, she. It's Mariev Dufault who is joining us now. Mariev, welcome, and I got to say, I was impressed with your run at Daytona a couple of months ago.
Yeah, Daytona was a great run. Unfortunately, we were in the big one. I realized that super speedway, there's not much you can do when things happen like that. But, I mean, the experience was, I mean, I love that track. It was great. The race was fun, and it was awesome.
You're running with Tony Marks Racing at the number 12 VR12 Dodge Motorsports Dodge Charger. How did that whole deal come together with Tony Marks and his foray into ARCA?
I raced for NASCAR Canadian Tire last year with Dodge Quebec Dealers of Canada. And actually, Dodge was there at the race at the Montreal track. And they introduced me to Tony. We start working together and testing, and things went just really good. And we put a deal together, and then with Dodge, Victory Water, and VR12, and we are here today.
Now, the NASCAR Canadian Tire Series, is that the old CASCAR series that I used to be familiar with?
Yes. Yeah, they used to call it CASCAR in the past. They changed it for being part of the NASCAR for those days, about a couple of years ago.
How does that work up in Canada? We really don't think of stock car racing Canada. I mean, I know one of the guys that you know and has helped you, Alex Taglione, and I've known Tags. I was there when he met his wife in Australia, when he met Bronte, Patrick Carpentier, Paul Tracy, Scott Goodyear. We think of those guys as racing from Canada, but it's all open wheel. You were actually doing stock car racing in Canada.
Well, actually, Alex Taglione introduced me to stock car racing because it was his car last year on the Canadian series. And he told me that stock car racing is great. And then when I got into my hand to it, I was like, wow, I love stock car racing. I mean, he's the one who gave me the chance to first time to be part of, you know, NASCAR, because I was part of Faz race team last year. As a driver development with Alex. Stock car is getting pretty good. I mean, you see Andrew Langer is doing really good on stock car over there, and then in the U.S. Right now, the Canaan Fury, I think. But we have some good good driver like DJ Kennington. I mean, we have a short season because of the snow probably, but we got some good racing on the NASCAR Canaan Fury.
We're talking with Mary Ev Defoe, who is driving in the ARCA Racing Series presented by Menards, actually testing at Talladega. They race down there in 2 weeks. And let's talk about your background. How did you get involved in auto racing?
It started really young. Actually, my dad and my brother raced motorcycles. So I grew up on a motocross at the age of 4. It was the first time. So, I mean, I've been at the racetrack. My first time was probably up 2 years old and grew up being surrounded about, you know, racing. And my brother raced road race, motorcycle. My dad raced for Jill Villeneuve at the time on flat track oval. Growing up, I started doing go-karts and I was all involved in open wheel. So just doing all the development series here and there, building my career slowly, and went over Europe a little bit about 2-3 years ago, and here I am today in Stuttgart.
Absolutely, and the ARCA series is a great place to start and learn. Can you kind of compare, I know you've only had 1 day of testing at Talladega so far, compare Talladega, which is a longer racetrack, to what you experienced today. Is it similar since the repave at Daytona? Do they feel the same to you?
Well, I thought it was really smooth. I was expecting a bit more rust at Talladega, but I mean, wow, that track is amazing. It's wide. Of course, Daytona is a little bit less wide than Talladega, but it's pretty similar feeling to be in the car at that speed and the way the corners are, except the three oval a little bit, but it's pretty similar. I mean, super speedway. It's my second time on oval for me, so far I can just talk about those two, but high speed, it's really large, the pavement is amazing. I mean, it's really smooth, so really enjoyed that track today.
How much fun is it for you to be running at those speeds, both at Daytona and now at Talladega? Is it something that a driver gets excited about?
Yeah, I mean, I think super speedway, you get, you know, excited about your time, like you try to beat what you're doing when you do single car run and make sure you don't do any mistake, and then you try to have a good setup with the car and to work good with the team, try to get your car as fast as possible. And I mean, in the actual race, I mean, it's crazy when you're like 43 cars together and then close to each other at that speed. It's a pretty amazing feeling. It's really different than what I'm used to, but I mean, I loved it. It was great. A lot of excitement, a lot of action was going on.
What kind of tracks are you used to running in Canada?
Well, everything I did is road course. For me in Canada, I didn't do the Canadian series in oval. They do oval, but I did the road course.
So this is a whole brand new experience for you then?
Yes, it's it's going to be my fourth race in stock car.
Are you looking ahead to when they get to some of the short tracks? I know Salem's coming up in Indiana in a short while, a half-mile racetrack. Those types of things will be brand new for you, completely different experience from the high-speed super speedways.
We actually did a late-model race during Speed Week, New Smyrna, on a half-mile. And, I mean, I loved it. It reminded me a lot more of road course, really aggressive and brakes, and I mean, I enjoyed it a lot. It was a great experience. I took a little bit of experience out of this race, only 50 laps, but I mean, it was great. I enjoyed that short track feeling a lot. It's really aggressive.
Mariev, what is your game plan for yourself? Run the entire season this year in ARCA, and then try to move up or run a couple of seasons in ARCA. What's your game plan?
Yeah, my game plan right now is to do and gain as much of the experience as possible with the ARCA on all kind of track. They have like dirt, so they have short track. I mean, I think it's the best place for me to be at this point. And I'm looking for getting to NASCAR as well, nationwide, maybe next year with some truck series.
We're seeing a lot of people do that these days.
Yeah, I mean, more you race, more you gain experience, more you, I mean, nonstop like this at, you know, I think it would be great for me, a lot of preparation, and I think that's what we need, you know, to get there to the level of a Kyle Busch or something, you know.
Absolutely. Well, Mary, we wish you the best of luck coming up in 2 weeks at Talladega, and hopefully we'll see you when they come around to Toledo Speedway, since that's only about an hour drive away when ARCA comes up here, and look forward to seeing you race again.
Thank you so much, and I really want to say thank you to VR12, Dad, and Victoria Water for being supportive for my year in ARCA this year. Thank you for having me.
That is Marie-Ève Defoe, and I really was impressed with her drive at Daytona. As you know, if you listen to the show a lot, I'm one of the announcers at Daytona, and I sit right above the start-finish line. And so I have a bird's-eye view of everything that goes on the racetrack, and I was very impressed with what she did. And considering her background is not on ovals, and especially high-speed ovals in stock cars, she did an incredible job. It's going to be interesting to see what she does at Talladega in a couple of weeks. So I want to thank her for joining us here tonight. Also, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., the current Nationwide Series points leader. Guy Cosmo from the American Le Mans Series. Wouldn't you like to drive a Ferrari? I'd like to drive a Ferrari. And also, Oriel Servia from Newman Haas Racing in IndyCar off his ninth place finish last week in their season opener. Of course, their next race is at Barber, which is a week after this, and then they will go to Long Beach, where I'll get to see a lot of my old friends. If you ever have any suggestions or comments for the show, don't forget you can always get in touch with me via email. Very simple. LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. I'm also on Twitter, which is at PitPassUSA. You can find lots of posts also on our Facebook fan page, which is PitPassUSA with Larry Henry. You can check out my blog post. I've got one up there right now, and it's very easy to find. It's exhaustfumes.wordpress.com, exhaustfumes.wordpress.com. And, of course, tell your friends about the show every Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, Pit Pass USA. And if you miss it, we're always on the archives or on iTunes. And the easiest way to find that is just go to pitpassusa.com. Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed the program tonight. Go in and take in a local race wherever your track may be across the country. And we will see you next Wednesday night, 7 o'clock Eastern Time, for more here on Pit Pass USA, part of the Power Up Motorsports Series and VoiceAmericaSports.com. Have a great week.
For this week, time to get ready for another great week of racing to talk about next time on Pit Pass. Tune in next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, for another fast-paced 200-mile-per-hour edition of Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry on Power Up, your motorsports channel.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.